everybody, to the EMS Educast, your weekly podcast by and for EMS educators. And tonight, man, we got another party online. We got all sorts of people. Tonight, we're going to be talking to Zachary Hilton about the Paramedic Journal Club. And for those of you who don't know, sometimes paramedics actually read journals. I know. I know
nice
you may think
back.
That's weird, but and they get together and they argue about them, and you can actually sometimes get CEU credit for this and even start an organization. So this is a different kind of thing you may want to start in your area, so we're going to do that. But tonight we got a full roundtable, so I want to go around real quick, introduce everybody. And finally, he returns, a prodigal son, Mr. Geek Montero. Chris, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm the prodigal son. Well, you know, and
the father.
You are. You're kind of a son and the father, and it's getting way too metaphorical.
I have to apologize to Greg on this podcast.
No apologies.
No.
Settled with arm wrestling.
Well, last week on the garage, I said, it was my idea to start the garage or the Educast, and he emails me. He's like, "No, really, that was my idea." I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's right." But I had an idea to start an education type podcast at some point in my career. I just am not an educrat. But hey, thanks for having me on. Good evening, guys.
Awesome. Greg Freese, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm excited. We got this talk show event back up. I appreciate listener Bill's encouragement to get this going again. So we're going to see if we can't keep the live thing alive in the weeks to come, because we've got just some really terrific guests scheduled, and I'm looking forward to that.
Cool. All right. And Rob Terrio from Ontario, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Cool. Good to be back here with you guys.
Awesome. And crashing the party tonight, our friend from the EMT spot, Mr. Steve Whitehead. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Now, you're always welcome. You're always welcome. And tonight, we have Zachary Hilton, who is, actually, you are the guy running the Bay Area Paramedic Journal Club. And I'm going to let you introduce yourself to the crowd and talk a little bit about what that organization is.
Great. Thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
So my name is Zach Hilton. I'm a paramedic firefighter for the City of Oakland Fire Department. We're over here in California in the Bay Area. The Journal Club pretty much started about 12 years ago. The basic premise behind it, just sort of like Buck was talking about earlier, it was a forum and a place for the field paramedics and EMTs and hospital workers to be able to get together and sort of review articles and talk about stuff that we don't normally talk about. Majority of our CE courses, you know, that I have to take throughout the year are either CPR updates or our PALS and our PEP and our ACLS courses. So it was kind of nice to talk about three different subjects that normally don't talk about, and at the same time, a medical vendor or an ambulance company would provide the meal for us. We would do the discussions over dinner and get three hours of CE out of it.
Oh, awesome. So who – was it you that started it, or was it someone else and you took over the reins afterwards?
Actually, I ended up taking over the reins. Initially, it was always field-driven. It was always done by medics here in Alameda County. And for a while, it would happen about every 4 or 5 months, and then it started getting spread out. When I got involved in it, it was about 3 years ago. And I was sort of under the impression that it would, you know, be something consistent. But then it kind of fell aside. It was never really organized as a business. I have a little bit of background in accounting and running businesses. So back in January, we actually formalized into a nonprofit 501c3, which basically allowed us to now establish relationships with vendors. So now they have multiple different ways to either donate to us as a charitable donation. They can write it off as marketing advertising or basically pay for the meal themselves. And we also now collect $10 from each individual attendee to secure their spot, and that's also a charitable donation that they're able to write off.
Okay. So now, why would vendors be interested in such a thing, and how can you get that kind of sponsorship for a program?
Well, you know what? The good thing is that in Alameda County, I tend to think that we're really aggressive. We're the ones that are known sort of first trying out new procedures and equipment. So getting vendors to come and sponsor us actually makes it a lot easier. We do have the nice thing is that we are sponsored jointly through Alameda County EMS, and they provide, since they provide our continuing education credits. So the forms that I normally send out to these vendors is to let them know that, hey, not only do you have field personnel, but those that are going to be using your equipment, but also you've got heads of these divisions. You have got medical directors from Alameda County and Contra Costa County that come there to listen. And we let the vendors steer at least one of the articles. Like the article that is being presented in October is on the EZIO. That vendor, actually, we allow them time to talk about their product. And we give them a little display table in the back to talk about it.
Okay. And that kind of probably helps with the presentation and everything as well.
It does.
So,
and it's also actually kind of nice to be able to have somebody, we usually get a clinical manager or someone who specializes in that field to be able to talk to the group and answer questions. Maybe they might even know exactly what happened on the study that we're reviewing.
Okay. Now, Alameda County, that's an AMR shop, right?
AMR ambulance is located here in Alameda County.
Mm-hmm.
Alameda County EMS agency in a whole covers probably about 8 or 9 cities in the Bay Area.
Oh, okay. All right. So one of our friends is Ted Setla, and he's always running around doing stuff. And I was wondering if you were, somebody ought to Twitter him and get him around too. I was just wondering if you're part of that.
Yeah, I run a couple. I've ran calls with him before, and right when I got introduced to Greg, I ended up seeing him the very next day. and he's a paramedic with AMR in Alameda County.
Okay, but you're not AMR. You were the fire department specifically, right?
Yep, I'm the fire department.
All right.
And Ted's actually in South Africa, so I don't think he's going to jump in tonight.
Oh, I got you. So that would make my computer blow up. Yeah.
How many paramedics are showing up for the Journal Club meetings?
When we market it, we make reservations for up to 50 people. Since January, we've been growing. January is right around 30. This one coming up in October, I already have 55 registered. The way we market it basically is we tell the vendor, we give them a set price, and we say that this price will include 50 attendees, and that what that covers is that basically pays for their dinner, pays for tax and tip. We have a facility, which is a restaurant in Oakland that actually gives the facility to us for free. So we have our own room, and we have other vendors. Like, I have a bank that actually made a really nice donation to us that if we end up getting more than 50, we just basically take funds out of that donation to pay for those extra people that show up.
Okay. Sounds like a Journal Club on steroids. That's amazing.
it's been tough trying to get the word spread out about it. But one thing that is real nice is that while we're running calls, with field personnel and such, we're trying to let them know that, hey, this, Bay Area Paramedic Journal Club is back up and running, and spread the word.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, I think we might be going in the same direction, but I'm just curious, like, if you have a sense for how many people actually read the journals, and then how do you have a discussion with 50 people in the room, and, are a lot of people contributing? I've also been to a lot of meetings with medical directors, and sometimes they have a tendency to hog the
discussion.
Take
it over.
Well, so I guess that's a sort of process, I think what Buck was maybe getting at, walk us through the evening.
So, this is pretty much what we do. Most of our presenters are field workers. So what we'll do is, like, I've already assigned the paper that we talked about earlier, that EZI, I've already assigned that to somebody, and it's all voluntary. And usually we'll find that they're either experts in that field, in that particular device. Maybe they've been on a study with it before. Some are just looking for experience in public speaking, and some are moving higher up in their education. So we do send out the articles ahead of time. As how many people read it before, not really quite sure. But what happens is that when each hour is given for the paper presentation, and the person will basically go over the pros and cons of the article. If they want to provide some sort of PowerPoint, we have that ability for them. It's been as simple as someone just getting up there, a new paramedic, and going through it and reading it. And what we do is we always have follow-up group discussion questions to kind of initiate any talks about it. And we always try to get papers that eventually we're going to be getting that product or eventually doing a study with that product. And that really gets people a little more interested. And there are MDs that are in the crowd, but they're very supportive of what we do, and they know that this is a field-driven discussion, so that no one's really taking over the conversation.
In fact, to encourage people to participate in the club or to read and analyze and present an article, do you run tutorials of any sort to help people with information literacy, sort of understanding the difference between a randomized control study and other types of research?
You know what? We haven't, but the good thing is that we do have a lot of resources of folks that have actually been either been on studies themselves. So we have an outlet for those people that if they do have extra questions or they want to get a little more in depth of, you know, like you just said, like what actually constitutes a study and things you're supposed to look for or not look for, that, you know, we can give them that resource. But no, we don't have any sort of tutorials as of right now. But, you know, like I said, this is kind of a groundbreaking, you know, thing, and maybe that's something that we should think about in the future to have.
Do you publish any of your discussions or findings on a web page or anything, or is this just strictly an in-house presentation and discussion?
Yeah, right now it's just strictly an in-house presentation and discussion.
And what happens when or does this ever happen where someone discusses an article about a device, you know, and the manufacturer's there and the person discussing says that, you know, the study wasn't well designed or, you know, didn't have enough of a cohort and so on and so forth. Does that ever happen? You run into those controversies where the presenter's kind of in conflict with the manufacturer who's there as a guest?
Oh, yeah. And we actually encourage that because, you know, that usually brings up pretty good discussion. And it's not in that manner where, you know, hey, this piece of equipment is garbage, I don't like it. It's more constructive than that. But that is one of the reasons why if we are going to have one of our articles, such as this EZIO one, which is driven towards, you know, that the vendor that's sponsoring it, we let them know that ahead of time. And that's why we usually personally invite, like we have one of their clinical managers come in. But it never really gets into an argument state like that.
And do you fight?
I was just going to say the article's already been published, so
exactly.
I would think the manufacturer's ready for it. But one of those chat questions on the chatters are asking about, you know, does it become that you're too much into a product evaluation versus a discussion of the research?
No. No, and we're definitely not trying to I think everybody realizes that, you know, the whole entire event is being paid for by a vendor, so that's we're going to be able to give them the opportunity to talk about their product, but we really are trying to keep it more towards how do articles get established and the principles behind that, rather than, hey, you guys should all go out and buy my product because it's the best, and here's a paper that shows that it's the best. That's not the idea behind it. Did that answer his question?
Yeah, it does.
Yep. Zach, do you sort of market or advertise your journal club meetings to students in the area who at colleges or who are part of service training?
We do advertise it to local paramedic schools. We advertise to ambulance companies. We advertise to hospitals. But we haven't really gone out. Are you asking Rob about like colleges that would actually be doing like medical students and such?
I wasn't thinking medical students specifically. I was thinking more EMT and paramedic students who might have interest in, you know, hearing those kinds of discussions.
Yeah, we definitely are, and those more or less those are the ones we're really trying to tap. Those that are trying to further their career, either go from EMT to paramedic or those that are going from paramedic to nurse. Because, you know, we do have some that just try to get up there looking for experience in public speaking and such, but we are trying to move to that aspect of getting people that are actually really good at reviewing articles and know what's the pros and the cons of that article and get them up there. That's who we really try to get to present.
So do you find that the presenters are usually people who feel strongly about making a change to the paramedic scope of practice or introducing a new device, and so they're up there with the evidence to support those arguments?
Exactly. And some, you know, we've allowed them to even further expand a little bit on their article, such as, like we just talked about, this, you know, when these things get published, they're usually, you know, maybe an average of 3 to 4 years later when the study took place. So if you're able to find more current information, and, you know, yeah, if you feel passionate about this product, that it should be, you know, something that should be in the scope of practice, I mean, the nice thing is that you have medical directors that are right there listening to what you're talking about, and they can also not only read the data, but they can listen to that field personnel that's saying, hey, I've been in situations where, you know, I needed to get that pediatric IV line, and look how long it takes me to get it on a regular IV as opposed to using this easy IO device real fast.
Hey, Zach, I might have missed this, but who picks out the articles that are reviewed?
We have a board that picks them out. We do let everybody know, though, in our evaluations, we let them know that this is a field-driven club. So if there's something that you enjoy, if there's something that you want to talk about, then we allow them to bring that to our attention. And other times, such as this EZIO, we are actually implementing this in Alameda County for pediatrics coming up, I believe, this December. So we thought it was appropriate for our October lecture to have a paper on something that we're all going to be doing eventually.
Yeah, that brings something up, too. If you're a nonprofit organization, you have to have a board, correct?
Correct.
And that's probably the same board that helps you pick the articles and do all that. Who comprises this board, and what all do they do, I guess?
Well, there's really not much that we do. We try to keep all of our overhead expenses, like, to zero. No one gets compensated, so this is all volunteer work. We have people that are, like myself, that's running the accounting. I'm talking with the vendors and getting invoices out to them. I've got another Oakland firefighter that pretty much helps me with the marketing of it. He also works for AMR Ambulance. So we got somebody who's marketing it. Then we got somebody who's actually helping with more of logistics. Another Oakland firefighter is, you know, helping making sure that we have all the audio video equipment. When we're checking in individuals into the conference, that could be pretty hectic, having 50 people sort of show up all at once. That's pretty much who comprises of our board right now.
Okay. And, you know, just to bring the discussion back to somebody who might want to start one of these in their area, obviously, well, you got pretty lucky getting some people who are willing to give you money, the bank and some other folks, and, mm-hmm. and you talk about marketing. If you want to do this yourself, what are the kind of institutions that you approach looking for money for such a thing?
I would say the best way to go about it initially, if you don't know how to do any basic accounting, really, it can really be self-taught. You know, there are plenty of CPAs and accountants out there that are willing to help nonprofits. Now, to set up the nonprofit, it's easy to do. You just follow it online. I followed all the guidelines through the IRS. If they have any extra questions, they just end up contacting you. But the best place for me to go when I was first starting out is starting with Alameda County EMS. They're the ones that provide, you know, that accreditate me to work for Oakland Fire Department, work in their county. They're the ones that are making the policies, the standing orders. And what goes with that is they have a huge contact list of vendors that are in the area that would be willing to sponsor a nonprofit.
Zachary, this is Chris. I was just curious. Have you guys ever thought about recording it or taping it live so that you could put it up so that other people could listen to it at later dates, or have you ever explored that?
No, we have actually talked about that. There's one of the guys that works at my EMS office for Oakland. He actually recorded something. I think it was our April And when we listened back to it, you know, it was kind of a good idea. And that's what same thing he said. He said, hey, if somebody can't come, it'd be nice to at least, you know, to be able to put it on a recorder and put it out there for everybody else to hear. And that is something that we're looking into. It's just pretty much right now trying to develop that.
Chris, well, I think you
want to help out, Chris?
Well, I was just saying, you know, I'm sitting here thinking because we've all talked and I'm like, you know, this would be a great podcast. I want to be the king of EMS media. And that's just the idea right there. Okay, don't call me that, Buck. But, you know, I think that really, yeah, I know. No, but I think that it would be really a neat and rich way to bring a lot of people together and talk about articles from not just the United States, but from all over the world and get other opinions and things like that. So anyway, sorry, my ideas are flowing here because I think this is great.
No, Chris, I think you got a great point, Chris, and you know I'd love to at the end of this podcast to be able to get your information, and maybe I can use you as a resource to kind of help me out, and I'm sure for all of you guys I can help us out and trying to get us online like that.
Chris, I think you're the Bob Vila of paramedicine.
Oh, you know, I never liked Bob Vila. I always
thought really?
Yeah,
I love that guy. He's brilliant.
Oh, I always thought he was kind of a nerd because he'd go. So, are you going to add more? I'm sorry, I'm going to digress a little bit, but you're going to add more insulation to this? And he always asked weird questions like that. So maybe I'm the weird question guy of EMS. I don't know.
It's well, tangents like this that make me wish we edited the show.
No!
I think, Zach, part of what's interesting here is, you know, by having this structure as a nonprofit, you know, there's a good chance that this thing might survive beyond your resurrection of it, that I think there's a real risk for something like this, that if it's driven by a single person, that it could evaporate as soon as that person gets promoted or moves out of the area. And so, you know, hopefully that foresight will pay off in the long run.
Yeah, the word... Go ahead. Usually the big thing about these is you're always supposed to be grooming your replacement for something like this. And, well, not just because sometimes stuff happens in your life and you just can't be there that month. You know, stuff like that happens too. So
I agree, and that is one reason that you know I saw it happen. I saw it happening where I was going to these cool dinners every couple of months and getting free food and great networking and getting to meet people that you know you see on an emergency call for 5 or 10 minutes and transfer them off to AMR and I never see them ever again. You know, now I'm able to actually talk with them and know who they are and know their last name and their first name. And but yeah, when I really wanted to establish this and bring more people on board too to learn and to make it bigger. So like you said, maybe in the future, I don't have any kids yet, but you know, if I end up having a couple of kids, that's something that might take up more of my time, and there needs to be other people that are passionate about this as well to be able to carry it on.
That's when you'll start podcasting.
The naive speaks. That might take up more of my time.
I've got a good question now.
Can I bust in here?
Yeah, go ahead, bust.
Dick, that's something I was wondering about with the sort of networking aspect, and it sounds like you're seeing some value to that. Can you speak to that a little bit more? Is that sort of the collegial relationships that you're developing at Journal Club, are you seeing that benefits of that out on the street anecdotally?
Are you talking about between the vendors, or are you talking about between the field personnel?
No, like the field personnel, like you just said, you know, you get to meet AMR staff. Do you have any like specific stories that come to mind where, you know, there was some benefit from that?
Actually, one huge benefit is I'm not sure how Greg ended up getting my information, but I never would have been, talking with you folks probably if I hadn't really got my information out there, and especially talked with Ted and his movie and his real promotion of Alameda County and paramedics and in education and kind of showing that, hey, you know, us as paramedics are, you know, really inspire to review articles and to expand our education even if we're not trying to become doctors or nurses or anything. So just that relationship with him and meeting all you guys, that's one thing that's huge that's happened within a year time frame here.
Just along the lines of what Greg was asking, do you find that, you know, oftentimes paramedics, EMS personnel are kind of cynical about, you know, changes or hope for changes in their scope of practice and new equipment and so on. Have you found that operating in this journal club, as people are more optimistic, they feel somewhat empowered having that venue?
They do feel more empowered, and you know, one of the things that makes it more empowered is that we actually have our medical directors there. We get more people from Alameda County and Contra Costa County come into our event, so we personally invite their medical directors and their staff. And, you know, those are the people that are going to our California state and saying, hey, you know, let's add this to the scope of practice. It does make them feel more empowered. And both of our medical directors are so approachable. I mean, how many times can you think of when you actually got to talk to the person that's in charge of making decisions? You know, having dinner with them, they might be sitting right next to you. Go ahead.
That was my next question, was the medical directors. I was going to ask how receptive they were to it. It sounds like they are. Do you get other physicians who are involved with the system who come out who are perhaps not as supportive or cynical or critical of some of the research that's discussed?
No, we don't. You know, I haven't been to one of the meetings, at least not since I've taken it over, and in the past where anybody's come in there and sort of tried to buck what we're doing, so to speak. We do invite, there are two other physicians that we do invite from Highland Hospital, which is our Alameda County Trauma Hospital. And both of them are very supportive. And actually, one of the great resources from them is that they're able to, if we're not able to access an article, they can usually get it for us.
There's another kind of networking aspect I had, but we're always trying to work on our relations with the ERs around here. It seems like the ER staff and the EMS staff are a little bit at odds and arguing quite a bit. This might be a really, really good opportunity to say, do something you've always wanted to present to them, say CO2 monitoring, capnography, and then invite the director of nursing for a couple of ERs and some charge nurses and bring them in and kind of give them a chance to see what you're doing and meet you a little more. Have you ever tried to cross those boundaries?
No, we haven't. But, you know, like I said, we're always open to anything new, and I totally agree with you trying to bridge that, you know, sort of perception of what maybe they have on us and what we have on them.
That's a good idea, Buck, because I know where I work, for a service that's pretty aggressive, and we do a fair bit of research near you. And anytime we introduce something new, like half a year ago, we started using CPAP, and some of our receiving hospitals are having a struggle transferring the patient over from our CPAP to theirs, and they're a little unclear about why we're doing it and what's the research behind it and how are we studying it. So that's actually a great idea to involve other healthcare professionals in the discussions.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of pushback on King Airway.
Interesting.
When the EMTs drop them off, the doctors just ripping them out, not knowing what there are, and throwing them away. And it's really kind of hard to it's difficult.
It's reminiscent of the deflating of the mass trousers a couple of decades ago.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going on, and there's a lot of paramedics handing off report with capnography to a lot of people just scratching their heads and going, you know, whatever, put them on the cot, things like that. I'd love a venue to try and fix that.
Interesting.
Well, and I think that's one thing you need to do. Like Rob said, if you're a really aggressive county and you're out there and you're doing stuff more than just the norm, that it is nice to be able to bridge that gap and not only train the ER staff and let them know, say, hey, you might see this weird mask on this guy coming in, and here's how we can transition over to you. One thing that we're trying to do in Alameda County is start talking about hypothermia in the field. And if you're going to be doing that, and then you get to the hospital, and they're like, yeah, whatever, sit over there and, you know, and hang out for a second and not keep the cooling process going, then it kind of stops everything that you started.
Sure. Hey, Zach?
Yeah.
This is Steve. Hey, I dig what you're doing. This is awesome. And I hate to take you all the way back to the beginning at this point, like we're in a Quentin Tarantino movie or something. But if there's going to be people who are listening to this podcast and they're educators and they're excited about their systems and they think, I really want to do this in my system. We hear like how cool this all is right now, what you've built it into, and it's awesome. Could you tell us a little bit about what were some of the very first meetings of the journal group like? And once you had those first meetings, did this thing launch like you just never believed it was going to be this successful? Or were there discouraging points where you felt like, you know, maybe this isn't worth it?
You know what? Since it's been around for about 10 years or so, it was actually really easy to let everybody know that it's back on board and it is going to be something consistent. We haven't, you know, I guess the hardest part is, and I'm probably more nitpicky about it because I really want it to go well. But in our feedback, we've got nothing but good evals. You know, it's been, some people have said the audio video equipment is not as good, or I couldn't hear the person speaking. And those are just little things that I don't think discourage people, because I always try to tell people in the beginning and in the end that this is only going to get smoother as time goes on. You know, the first time in January when I was going to get up there and say, hey, welcome back. It's been a long time. Now we're a nonprofit. You know, that was difficult for me to even get up there in front of a large group and talk about that. But everybody knows that I always let them know, this club is yours. This is driven by you. This is not driven by the vendor that sponsors. It's not driven by me. This is something that's field driven, and you need to come back and you need to give, you know, give feedback on how we can make it better. And I let people know, get out there and invite who you think would want to come, whether it's the paramedic student or a nurse at a hospital, because we do give out nursing CEs as well. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah. Now, were you on board with the club when it started a decade ago?
I wasn't.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't.
In fact,
I'm sure that because I experienced it. One of the frustrating things, I'm sure, was not really having any sort of formal distribution list or email list of anything you would know when the next meeting is. It would just kind of come on a whim, word of mouth. People would spread it around. Hey, we're all meeting at, you know, the Hungry Hunter in Walnut Creek at 5 o'clock next Tuesday. And then people will be like, what? I didn't even know about that. So I think now it's more formal. People know who they can come to. The vendors know who they can come to. They know it's always going to be every 3 months. We do, in Alameda County's newsletter, there's always information on when our next journal club is. It's online as well. You know, we're on Facebook, and I've been trying to encourage people to join us on Facebook. Just to try to get consistent information out there.
And Zach, do you invite people to present opposing views on a given piece of research? So one person who's advocating for this and finding supportive evidence, and then someone else whose goal is to find opposing evidence, so that there's a bit of a robust debate going on?
We haven't. And that's actually a good idea to put two people up there like that. I try to encourage those that are presenting to find pros and cons of the article, so we can have both views. But actually, that's a good example of actually having two people doing that.
The downside to doing that over food might be food fight, but that's...
Have you thought about putting an octagon in there, you know? Paramedic cage match over
there. That's where I can get the true sponsors.
I just can't get over the restaurant part. You know, when I envision a journal club, I think, you know, four or five people getting together over donuts and coffee, but I'm just so in awe of what you've been able to organize. You got me pumped about it. I think I'm going to try to start one here.
Well, see, and the good thing, especially in today's economy, people are, you know, businesses that are out there, they're more than willing to help out nonprofits, especially. And this restaurant, Francesco's, that we have in Oakland, I mean, we already have most of our retirement dinners there. They know what we're all about. They know that we're trying to help, and educate the people that respond into them, because we're doing it in you know, in the same city that we're all working in. And you know, getting it at a restaurant in a room on your own works out perfect, because they usually have all the equipment there. It's a big, large room. Yeah. And then, you know, one other thing too that I wanted to mention is that we do raffle prizes in between our presentations to kind of, you know, if the presenter was a little went a little too long or a little too dull or whatever, kind of fire everybody back up. We get raffle prizes donated by coffee shops and uniform shops, and sometimes the vendor will bring out you know, certain prizes, and we'll raffle them off during the in the middle of presentations.
I would imagine there's a pretty robust after journal club that the
the after party
that the restaurant is happy to have hanging around for an hour or two.
They're very happy to have them hanging around.
You did say you're a firefighter, so.
Yeah. I am a firefighter.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like Rob. I just really admire the way you're going for it here, and the response. And what's your population? I mean, you're getting 55 people in October. Where the county I'm in, there's probably like 45 paramedics total in this whole mm-hmm. county. But like, how many are you? What's your draw?
You know what?
Hundreds or thousands of.
I would. It's got to be. You know what? I mean, we try to. It's got to be in the hundreds right now.
Yeah.
You know, I want to shoot. I want to aim high and say that, you know, 1,000 people are notified. But you know, we do have most of the companies and departments. They'll send our flyer out to their entire staff, to all their stations. I mean, I've got you know, a lot of fire departments that I can send this flyer to their training division or their EMS division, and they're firing it out to departments as low as two stations, all the way up to, you know, 30 stations. So I like to believe that a lot of people are finding out about it. The toughest part is that I'm developing my own distribution list, which probably has about 75 people on it right now. And what I'm trying to tell people to do is, even if you can't come to that first one, give me your email, so that way I can send you information to keep you loaded up. But I would imagine, I mean, we have at least nine cities around here that we're marketing to, and we're trying to break through. But, you know, sometimes the information doesn't get passed on down to the field.
Have you ever gotten any of the authors of these papers to ever come down and enter the fray, as it will?
No, we haven't yet. But we did have the rescue pod. We did have...
Ooh, that would have been a good one.
Yeah, that was our one last time around. And we actually did have somebody that was a part of their clinical division that worked on the study.
Oh,
so
okay.
that did help, kind of having somebody to sort of point a finger at and say, hey, what did you guys mean by that? Or what were you trying to figure out? And this October, we're having the clinical manager from Vitacare, which makes the EZIO. She will be there as well, so that'll be a nice resource.
Zach, I was one of the contributing authors to the termination of resuscitation study, and I'm always hungry. So if you can cover my airfare from Canada to where you are, I'd be very happy to come.
Take a trip to California?
Sure.
Yeah, it's about 90-some-odd degrees here right now.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Oh, you know, I wish I'd have known you when I came out to San Francisco this past spring. I would have loved to come and dropped in on the... I think that'd have been great to be on your journal club. Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. Are you in San Francisco proper then, or do you meet in Oakland?
We're right outside of San Francisco is the city of Oakland, and that's where majority of our stuff happens.
How hard was it to get it going?
You know, you mean as far as
you know,
like
setting
what, like
up
getting
I mean
people to sign up.
Yeah, you know, you get the idea, and I mean, I've got a lot of ideas even here locally, but did you just say, all right, I'm doing it on this day, and I just advertised it, and I just made it happen?
That's what I did. I got a flyer, and I got, I ended up getting a flyer, I printed it up, you know, I didn't have any format to go off on, started handing it out to people, and... You know, like the way that all of us ended up in this podcast together, it's because we have a passion to do more than just our job, you know? So normally you end up drawing those type of people here. And I think that there are a lot of people like us out there that are looking for a resource like this that's field-driven. It's, you know, for EMTs and medics, and it's done by EMTs and medics. I think that draw out there is huge. And I think more people, hopefully, will start catching on to it. And as our numbers grow higher, you know, I think you'll find that even that person that maybe needs a little push or a little extra, you know, hey, come on here and come on board and try it out. I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll entice some EMTs and medics to further their education and start doing more of this literature.
Well, I love it. I think it's really innovative. So continue on, because I think that we could learn a lot from what you guys have done. So nice job.
Thanks.
Hey, Zach, have you looked ahead and, you know, thought about, do you go every month to spread the people out and get the room back to 30 people, or, you know, if you cap it at 50 but now you got 55, or are you aiming for 100?
You know what?
People, do you have a sense for that?
We have enough money in our reserve, and we have enough room in the room that we're at the restaurant, probably to go up to about 70 people. So that would be the max. Now, what we do is when we put our flyer out, people will register with us, and they have to register a week ahead. The registration closes a week before it starts, so that way we're able to get. You know, I'm able to know my numbers ahead of time, but you know, we are able to expand if we need to. We have the funds for it, and if we weren't able to have the funds for it, then the person would just end up paying for their dinner. The CEs are provided free from Alameda County, so they would still be able to be a part of it.
Okay. I wonder, as a you know, I'm thinking about sort of like the education value of this. Mm-hmm. If the crowd gets too big, you know, does that start making discussion difficult and participation? You know, I guess I'm sort of like Rob.
What if it gets too big?
Yeah, and I envision Journal Club, you know, four or five people around a small table sort of hashing it out at not large presentation style.
Yeah. You know what? We're not really there yet. You know, we had around 50 last time in July. It was manageable. The registration process went really easy. I have all their information ahead of time. I'm just able to check them off right as they walk in, make sure they paid. Everybody's got name badges. Everybody's got course evaluations that they need to fill out to get their CEs. So we have their CE certificates for them right when they're ready to leave the room. It really hasn't got that big yet where it's sort of unmanageable or becomes, you know, like a ruckus. Hasn't got there yet.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think it's, you know, this, and we've got somebody in the chat room that's sort of looking at the same thing as I am, as, you know, when does it change from like a discussion, a journal discussion, to a lecture by a presenter? And, you know, I think a lot of it just depends on the article and people's interest in it and how it's presented by the presenter. But, you know, Buck and I have been talking for a couple months now about how we integrate a journal club into, you know, some sort of regular broadcast of the EMS Educast, maybe every other month or something, do a journal club episode. And, you know, to some degree, there'd be people on the conference call having a discussion and then listeners listening to that discussion later, which wouldn't be all that different than what you're presenting there. So
yeah, and I think that the whole goal of this group is to keep that discussion going and to keep you know, encouraging our higher ups to be aggressive with your scope of practice and, you know, do things in a safe manner. I really wouldn't want to allow this group to get, or this club to get, to the point where it's sort of one of those rooms with 200 people in it. You show up, you listen to the guy, and that's it, and you're out. I really like the more round table discussion where you're able to talk with amongst people like their medical directors and the EMS staff. I like that closeness of it. But we might hit that road at some point, and you know, the board will have to decide which direction to take it.
Yeah, I think, gosh, this is really interesting, and I appreciate it. And, you know, with our idea of a journal club, you know, maybe we should bring you on board to help us hustle up some sponsors for the podcast.
Hey, I would be more than willing. And, you know, if anybody needs help setting up this in their area, I am more than willing to help.
Well, might be a good segue to Buck asking you for your contact information. And
we've
already cranked through 50 minutes here, and it's time to wrap up.
Yeah, we're starting to come into the wind down. But if somebody wanted to try and get a hold of you to get some help setting one of these up in their area, how might they do that?
So they can reach me by email.
All right.
And so the email address is Z, and then my last name is Hilton, H-I-L-T-O-N, at oaklandnet.com.
Oaklandnet.com.
Correct. Are you on Twitter?
I'm not on Twitter, but I am on Facebook.
Well, don't give out your Facebook unless you want a bunch of followers.
Do you have a Facebook page for the Journal Club?
We do have a Facebook page for the Journal Club, and if you search out Bay Area Paramedic Journal Club, you'll find it. Mm-hmm. And then, you can also get in touch with me through there. You know, one other thing I wanted to pass on to real fast is that if you are starting it out, you know, do get an accountant or a CPA to help you out, just so you make sure you do everything correctly. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do something illegally, and now vendors won't, you know, do any business with you. But there are companies out there that I can talk with people that, you know, really give low transaction fees and such. So you're not sitting there volunteering your time, sitting there cashing checks or handing out money. There are plenty of businesses out there willing to help you, you know, with the money management side without taking all your money. That should be going back into the club.
Hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming by and explaining this concept. And I bet there's a lot of EMS educators who haven't even heard of this before, and that's why we keep on trying to scour the country and find new and interesting ways to educate people. And thanks for coming by and sharing with us.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And bring me back on. Maybe I'll jump in some of your discussions in the future. I'd love to.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And we'll go around and Mr. Montero, since you've come on by tonight, how can we get a hold of you?
Oh, you know, you can get hold of me, Geeky Medic, on pretty much any social network you want to find me on. You know, I can't do Gems Connect and all that anymore. I try and I can't. I like Twitter. I'm a Twitterer. So find me on Twitter. And you can also follow me on Facebook because I really don't care. Everybody's my friend.
That's because it's addictive and it's untweetable.
All right. Greg. You know, you have a blog too, don't you, Chris?
I do, but you know, I haven't updated it in a while.
Don't let that stop me. It doesn't stop me.
I know. ChrisMontero.com.
You can
find me there, and I will tell you that there's very little about EMS on there. So, you know, go there at your own risk.
All right. Cool. Well, Greg, what are the 18 ways we can get a hold of you online?
Well, like Twitter, like Chris, I'm manic for Twitter. I just went over 6,700 updates earlier today. So that's the place where I really like to connect with people. I also want to give one more shout out. I'm presenting at EMS Expo next month. If people want a discount on their registration, I got a code where they can get $100 off. But they got to register before October 2nd, I believe. So they should send me an email, and they can do that through the Educast email, and I'll get them that information. Because we want to see you at the expo where we'll be broadcasting the Educast live.
Nice.
Cool. Well, Rob Terrio, tell us all about your internet exploits.
Well, you can reach me at some of the usual social networks like Gems Connect and EMS Connect, and you can look me up on my blog at paramedictutor.wordpress.com. And I just want to put another plug in for a conference happening here in Southern Ontario called Paramedicine 2009. And the website for that is just simply www.paramedicine.ca. And we have some great speakers there. And I'm hoping we see some of our American colleagues show up to this conference. It's just west of Toronto, so which is a great area for tourists. And right next to the hotel is a place that serves 110 draft beers or something. So
awesome.
Should be great.
That's a great place to have.
And that's in November. November 20th, 21st, and 22nd, I think, or 20th and 21st.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you. And Steve, thanks for coming by tonight. That's awesome. Thanks for coming by tonight. And, well, besides the EMT spot, which I know you want to plug, where else can we find you?
You can Facebook me. You can Twitter me. I'm on EMS United. And, yeah, you can always get me at the blog, and you can find my email there.
Right. And if you haven't been to Steve's blog, go on and check it on by. EMTspot.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
You can find out all sorts of EMT and paramedic tips and how to behave correctly out in the field. your blog is so upbeat. If you read mine, it sounds like, you know, the kid who colors everything with a black crayon.
We are the yin and the yang. We're both necessary.
Which is funny because we get along so well, which is kind of odd, but that's kind of cool. And of course, I'm Buck Ferris. You can reach me all sorts of ways. I'm at Buckman, BUCKMAN on Twitter. Now my Twitter's locked out, but that's just because I hate spam. I'll follow it. You know, I'll follow anybody who follows me. So just put a request in, and we'll get to you. Got my Facebook locked down recently because of a weird thing that happened, but yeah, it might come back up. You can reach me at Gomerville.com. This is my strange blog, which I hardly ever update, but it's there. And now I am a human again. I'm not working three jobs anymore. My life kind of changed today. I closed down a project that was taking up a whole lot of my time. So you will find me, as always, on the Educast, but you might find me a lot more in the EMS Garage and at my new project that will be heading up steam again, which is CopyCode3.com. It's high time to put about two or three episodes out of that project, so be looking at that over there. And also, I'm going to be at EMS Expo, along with Chris Montero and Greg, and the whole funky bunch is going to go down, and we're going to put on a lot of live shows on the show floor there in Atlanta. Although Atlanta's underwater, I'm kind of worried about that. Are they going to have the place dried out by the time we get there, Chris?
I sure hope so, and you know, I hope we don't get shocked. Hey, no. Don't forget to ask, who's next week's guest?
Oh yeah, what are we doing, Greg?
Kelly Grayson is next week's guest. He is a widely known EMS author, paramedic. He's got a blog, which the name of his blog has totally escaped me for now. But I'm pretty sure he's going to be, one of his passions is talking about airway management education. And so that's what he's coming on to discuss.
Cool. All right. Well, you heard it next week, Airway Management Education, and we'd like to thank Zachary Hilton for coming by and talking to us about the Bay Area Paramedic Journal Club there in San Francisco, and I'd like to thank all the hosts for coming by, and for you listeners out there, we're always at the MSEducast.com, and man, we had a lot of people in TalkShoe tonight. Who would have thunk it? We had a busy, busy chat room, so if you want to listen live, we're going to try and start this up again starting, well, tonight. But if you go to the MSEducast.com and click on our live page, you will see all our shows that are going to be live. And there's no cost to you. You can just click on that link and follow it and follow a few simple directions. And you can listen to the show while we're doing it. It is usually broadcast on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which winds up being 8 Central, I think, and 7 Mountain. Is that right? Or am I screwing that up?
No, that's right.
That's right. I finally got it right.
Yeah, man.
So,
welcome to elementary school.
I know. I have no idea. I couldn't point on the map. That's okay. But anyway, thanks for coming by, and thanks for listening, and thanks for encouraging us to do this. And we'll see you next week.